Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
From the studios of NPR in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Homeland, The Americans, House of Cards, Scandal, Veep, The West Wing. We may be quick to criticize what real power brokers do in Washington, D.C., but we are mesmerized by their fictional counterparts on television. And, of course, hundreds of well-known films have featured scenes here, from Mr. Smith Goes to Washington to All the President's Men and Argo. Getting the green light to shoot on the street in D.C. can be a complicated process, not least because production companies often need permission from both city officials and the federal agencies in charge of landmarks, like the National Mall or the Lincoln Memorial. My guests are both involved in making deals to put the real Washington, D.C. on screen. Angie Gates is director of the city's Office of Motion Picture and Television Development. Patrick Byrne is a location manager and scout whose many credits include House of Cards, Veep, The West Wing, The Bourne Legacy, and The X-Files. Welcome both of you to Think.
Thank you, Chris. We're excited to be here.
Thank you very much.
Is it possible to make any sort of generalization about the kind of character the city plays in movies and TV?
So the district plays a pivotal role in various type of films, everything from the political side of things to just your standard storylines. So I think the district is very unique and can capture the good and bad of any storyline that is presented from producers.
When you're looking around, Patrick, and trying to find a location, do you already know the city perfectly, or do you actually sometimes get in the car and take a drive and sort of look neighborhood by neighborhood for what might work?
I actually do know the city pretty well, but 80 to 90% of the time, I just get in the car and drive around, even if it's a location that I have used many, many times before, like the Lincoln Memorial. You have to go back and see what it looks like and that day at that time, because it's an ever-changing scenario. But yes, I'm always looking for, I spend 80% of the time in my car driving around.
So there are things here in the city that nobody can duplicate, right? You're not going to build a Lincoln Memorial set somewhere. On the other hand, there are streetscapes that, you know, some companies will decide to shoot in other cities. Baltimore, I was reading, even Cleveland sometimes is a stand-in for Washington, D.C. What causes production companies to either really work here or to go elsewhere?
Well, I think there's a combination of a few things. Number one, there's one nation's capital, and it's unique and authentic. So I actually take it as a compliment when other cities try to create the landscape and try to get it right, and it's not quite there. But I think that ultimately for D.C., we have to continue to focus as being a film-friendly location, and we constantly are promoting that we're open for business. Sometimes it is a bit challenging. There are certain states that offer specific incentives that will tend to lure production companies to shoot there rather than use the D.C. Locale based on rebates and tax incentives and credits that they may receive. The good news is that as of May, we will have some film incentives to offer these production companies. And in addition to that, we're also working on sound stages here in D.C. That makes us even more competitive.
How much of the film and television industry that works here is sort of permanent or is permanent, and how much is made up of crews that come and go from other places?
I'd say on any given larger project, it's probably close to 65 to 70% of the crew working on that given film on that any day is local. And it's just a nature of economics. It's a lot cheaper to hire somebody local than to bring somebody in and put them up in a hotel and stuff. So it's really just, it's all about business. So it kind of works in conjunction with the tax incentives. You know, the tax incentives generally try and get people to hire locally. So, you know, a lot of those incentives are based, I mean, and honestly, to your first question, it's all about tax incentives.
Mm-hmm. We have a very talented group here in the district of anything from a production assistant to grips, you know, cameramen, editors. We have a very strong crew here in D.C.
Okay, so let's talk about what it takes to get permission, because I think this is fascinating when you have multiple jurisdictions sometimes controlling very similar areas. First of all, for an outside location shoot anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, what kind of control do the people doing the filming need to have over the space where they're doing filming?
To answer that, they would probably like to have as much control as they can. But my experience, generally, we're pretty flexible. If there's certain things that we can't do, we can kind of operate around whatever the parameters of the location are.
Meaning if there are people way back in the distance walking around, you can just
ignore them? Well, I mean, in some locations, you can have absolute control. And, you know, there's if you see extras in a given shot, those are generally the people walking around in the background. When you see a shot in a movie, is not people walking around in the background. They're extras that are being paid to be people walking around the background. But there are some situations where, you know, you cannot restrict access to a given location, like a public location, like many of our places here in Washington. So, you know, companies are kind of, production companies, you know, we have ways we can get around that. And generally we'll just have some of our own extras and kind of blend them in with the other extras, or, you know, strategically place them between, you know, so that, you know, it's kind of a game. You have to play this game of, you don't want to draw too much attention to yourself because then you cause a crowd, but you don't want to restrict people. You know, it's kind of, you kind of walk that thin line.
Right. And like, you don't want people who happen to be nearby staring at the camera and making it obvious that there's something.
Yeah. But sometimes if you say to somebody, hey, stop, don't stare, then they stare.
Right.
Right. You know,
so. Angie, how? What about federal agencies? I understand that there are special rules for example, areas controlled by the National Park Service.
D.C. is unique. It's multi-jurisdictional. So you may be on a district street and step onto the sidewalk and you're on federal property. So that's how quickly the space can vary. So what we try to do is make it a very easy, smooth logistic transition for production companies, both local and out of town, to walk you through that process. For district areas, our office will permit for that particular area. If you're on federal property, you mentioned like the Lincoln Memorial, then the National Park Service will provide a permit for that space. So we communicate and work closely together, but we try to make it very clear on the necessary paperwork that's needed, and we'll help you through that. Process. There's the White House. So you will then may have to deal with Secret Service. And it's the nation's capital. So 1 hour, everything may be fine and smooth, and you may have to pause for a second in order for the president to depart to go to Capitol Hill.
I was wondering about that because I've been here just as a tourist with my family. And, you know, for security reasons, everyone's being really careful. And, you know, the tourists are brought out of a building, for example, if there's an issue. How often does that affect shooting on location?
When you're filming in D.C., I generally tell people, be prepared for motorcades or security situations or power outages or, you know, it's a busy city. I mean, like any other city, that stuff happens, I wouldn't say daily, but almost daily.
Were you here before? Were you already working here before 9/11?
Yeah, actually, I was. I remember I was working here in town before 9/11, and I remember working on a film. It was Oliver Stone's Nixon back in 1995, and the director and production team arrived in D.C. the morning that they closed Pennsylvania Avenue, and they were arriving to look at a shot that they were going to do with vehicles on Pennsylvania Avenue. So, yeah, I mean, I've been around here for quite a while.
Have things changed a lot now that security concerns are greater, or at least security is heightened?
Definitely security is certainly heightened, but in a lot of ways it's gotten better because the communication between the various jurisdictions. I mean, now I can apply for a permit with Angie's office and, you know, immediately the Secret Service knows, you know, what's going on. You know, it's a lot of communication, so it makes it, in a lot of ways, it makes it a lot easier for us.
Angie, talk about the calls that you have to make or the communications that you make to facilitate these location shoots.
So I think we look at everything from a big picture perspective. And I think for any problem or issue that comes up, there's always a solution. So we try to be as proactive as possible. And whether it's a small shoot or a large shoot, we treat them all the same. So typically we try to start the conversation by what do you ultimately need to accomplish? And then we back into that by making sure that everyone is informed. A lot of times it's just quickly solved by communication. It's different when you know someone is scheduled to shoot there that day as opposed to a park ranger walking up and seeing a camera crew of five. So a lot of things have to do with capturing the traditional landscapes of the nation's capital, such as the monuments, White House, Pennsylvania Avenue. But it's interesting because in D.C., we have great locations in all 8 wards. So the goal will be able to facilitate working with the Park Service, letting them know that, okay, we're going to try to do a shot here in the morning. If a problem arises, then they're pretty flexible with us coming back to get a shot that we may not have been able to complete.
Does anybody care who is issuing these permits how Washington, D.C. and its most prominent residents come across in the production? Is that ever a concern?
It's definitely a concern, and it's definitely a discussion. We work very closely not only with the residents, but with the business owners. We also think that it's very important that what's depicted is definitely coinciding with the nation's capital as a whole. So for us, when a production company comes in and shoots, we typically inform the ANC commissioners that's part of the community residents. And then in addition to that, parking is always a topic of discussion.
Goodness, I hadn't thought about that, but you've got big trucks and then you've got crew members. Where do you put everybody?
Right. So we work closely with the Department of Transportation as well. So there's very unique scenarios here where we work with different agencies. And we try to get everyone around the table at the same time. And we look at the big picture once again of what we're trying to accomplish. So outside of capturing the scene itself, it's the logistics aspect of it with parking, making sure we're not blocking traffic or streets during rush hour. And for the most part, we can get all of these tasks accomplished by getting the shot that's needed in order to make sure the district is shown in the proper light, but do that very smoothly and from a customer service perspective for both the residents and the production companies that's shooting.
Yeah, I mean, the process involved, which is, it actually benefits us as well. We're, you know, required to reach out to the communities that we're filming in and let them know what's going on. So for me as a location manager, it's, you know, it's kind of serves double duty. It's good because then I interface with everybody on the street. You know, we were just on a project just a couple of weeks ago filming up in Adams Morgan, which is a very busy neighbor with lots of restaurants and stuff like that. But we went to every single person on the street, even if they weren't in our immediate area, just to let them know that this is where we're parking these trucks and we'll be gone by this time. And, you know.
Do you have to have permission from everybody, or can you get a whole street and then one person basically sidelines the process?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily not a permission thing, but it's more a matter of people being informed about what's, you know, we're not asking, it's public space, and we go through the same process to use that public space that people, you know, if they're having a block party or they're moving or mm-hmm. having some construction done, it's exactly the same permit. So we're not asking, we're asking the city for permission, but we're not asking, because it's, yes, it's in front of your house, your parking space is in front of your house, but it's not necessarily your parking space.
Right. And our office has a due diligence to work as a liaison between the production company and the residents. So for us, and everyone loves for film and video and things to be shot here, and everyone likes to be a part of it. I remember going on set for a particular shoot in a neighborhood, and the residents wanted to welcome people in for coffee and tea, you know, during their break. So we have a due diligence to make sure everyone is happy and, you know, for the most part, we take care of everyone's needs and still get that scene shot that's needed for the team.
We are listening to, we are talking this hour with two guests, Angie Gates, who is director of the Washington, D.C. Office of Motion Picture and Television Development, and Patrick Byrne, a location manager and scout whose credits include House of Cards and Veep and The West Wing and many others. Tomorrow morning at 8:20, you can listen to KERA for Stephen Becker's interview with NPR critic Bob Mondello during this week's edition of The Big Screen. Welcome back to this conversation in 2 minutes. The number is 1-800-933-5372.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. Summer registration is now open with courses in art, history, literature, and new financial fitness workshops. Registration online at smu.edu/CAPE.
listen to what I am saying.
I'm trying to protect us both. These are questions anyone could ask.
But no one is except you. I can't imagine what you're after.
I took a chance. Showed up at your house and placed myself at your feet. Crossed ethical lines. Professionally, physically. And I hold myself accountable for that. Those are my choices and I can live with them. I'd like to move forward, but I need to know exactly what I was a part of, that I wasn't a part of someone's...
Finish your thought.
Part of someone's murder.
Jesus.
That was Kate Mara and Kevin Spacey in a scene from season 2 of House of Cards. No absolute spoilers there, so if you are still catching up on Netflix, you shouldn't have to worry. We're talking about the nation's capital in movies and TV, because, of course, Think is in D.C. all this week. My guests for the hour are location manager Patrick Byrne and Angie Gates, who is director of the Washington, D.C. Office of Motion Picture and Television Development. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can email think@kera.org. You can call 1-800-933-5372 or find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think. Okay, how much of House of Cards actually happens in Washington, D.C.?
The entire story happens in Washington, D.C.
How much is shot in Washington, D.C.?
Not very much at all. In fact, I'd say in the last probably 4 or 5 days total in the last 2 seasons, and we're now on our about to start our season 4. So
why is that?
Well, again, it's unfortunately all about tax incentives. You know, that's what it boils down to. And those decisions are made even before many of the creative decisions. I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, they'll say, okay, you want to do this project and you can shoot in Atlanta, Toronto, or Maryland. You know? And, but that said, one of the reasons why I think they decided to shoot in Maryland is because it's proximity to D.C. So then we do film in D.C. You know, it's convenient and logistically easier for us.
Angie Gates, it has to make you crazy when you think about that.
I mean, it does. It does. We do get quite a few productions in D.C. I know House of Cards has been the focus, but there are a lot of other productions that take place in D.C., films as well as commercials, documentaries. So it doesn't all begin and end with House of Cards. House of Cards is a great production, and I watch the show myself. But I think, once again, to my original comment, every time that D.C. is highlighted, it's an opportunity to promote D.C. And in the end, a lot of people are interested in D.C. and want to come here and shoot. And we now have a seat at the table because we will be offering incentives. And in addition to incentives, we will also have a soundstage available over the summer, which is another component. So outside of the incentives, there is the soundstage that we can highlight here. And just being able to assist a production from beginning to end is an added plus. We strive to continue to be a one-stop shop, and those are the type of services that everyone is unable to offer.
So for people who don't know the term, soundstage is basically a big warehouse where you can build sets and you can shoot interior scenes for TV shows and movies. It's basically just a place where you can film.
Absolutely. So we have access to a 16,000 square foot soundstage over at the BET campus, and we've been working closely with them to utilize that space for local film stakeholders as well as out-of-town productions. So this will allow us a couple of bonuses here, the incentive fund plus the sound stages and the authentic landscape that you can't necessarily reproduce. So we have those availabilities here in the district now as well.
Patrick, do you find yourself lobbying with your clients for working specifically within Washington, D.C.?
Oh, yeah, most certainly. I mean, I would prefer, I live in suburban D.C., so I would, if they shot everything in D.C., it would be awesome, it would be fantastic for me. And, you know, it is, you know, it's a great city, you know, it's a beautiful city, and there's aspects of it that people have not seen yet, and I'd love to see some of those aspects, you know, on the screen.
You guys are just at the tail end of cherry blossom season. I guess the highlight was a couple of weeks ago when everything was in absolute full bloom. Is that, though, a time of year when a lot of people who really want scenes of the cherry blossoms all come at once? And what happens when multiple productions might want access to the same area at the same time?
So with working with National Park Service, to answer your question, yes. You have a limited window, approximately a two-week time frame when the cherry blossoms are in full bloom. So we've worked closely with National Park Service, and you have a variety of production companies that are in at that time. You have the one-person shoot to a large production scale. So we all have to be flexible in an effort to making sure everyone's needs are met, while at the same time hosting the Cherry Blossom Festival itself, which is a great, great event.
How do tourists and residents in particular, people who, let's talk about residents first, people who are just trying to get to work. I mean, I would imagine there's a lot of activity going on. Are people frustrated when suddenly the way that they typically commute is blocked? And how do you try to minimize that impact?
Well, I think that's where communication comes in. So the goal is advanced planning. This is when we talk to the ANC commissioners. This is when we go door to door and talk to the residents and the businesses in the area, so no one is caught by surprise. One of the beautiful aspects of D.C. is our public transportation system. So our metro system can practically take you door to door, whether you're on the outskirts in the surrounding areas or in the district. Most individuals can take the metro train to pretty much any stop within the district. So with advanced planning, oftentimes people will choose to use the metro, the bus system to commute in and out of work when they know it's going to be a high trafficked time frame.
Yeah, and I mean, for us, as far as planning goes, I wouldn't even begin to plan to shoot on any major street in Washington and try and get away with closing. You know, we pick our locations based upon the feasibility of what we can do at any given time. You know what I mean? So it's as much as they would love to shoot at the Tidal Basin during cherry blossom season, even if the Park Service said, yeah, come on down and, you know, park all your trucks and just have at it, there would be no way that we could do it. There's just a million people down there. It just would not be. So, you know, it's you know, a partnership. We kind of, we do what we are allowed to do, and we, you know, plan around that.
You mentioned the metro system, Angie, and I read an interesting story that one thing that longtime D.C. residents, I gather this was before your time, but there was a movie with Kevin Costner in 1987, No Way Out, that placed a metro station in Georgetown where there has never been a metro station. I wonder how often you just hear from people who live around here that are either assume that you guys had something to do with the way the city came across or was mischaracterized in a production when really you're working on permitting and sort of facilitating.
Well, I think that's the beauty of storytelling. I think that if it's a documentary, it's the reality. When it's a storyline, everything, you know, the characters are not necessarily an actual person or an actual story that's being told. So for us, particularly residents in the district or individuals that are maybe third, fourth generations in Georgetown, some of them may say, well, you could have, you know, done it from a different perspective. There is not a stop that actually exists here. But at the same time, you have some people that just appreciate that Georgetown, which is one area in particular where there's not a necessary stop, that they just appreciate that area is being highlighted. For us, we try to make sure that everything is handled in a respectful manner and that there's nothing negative coming across.
Patrick, what are the complications when you mentioned working on Oliver Stone's movie Nixon. Mm-hmm. What are the complications when you have to take the city and you're doing some exteriors and you have to pretend it is, you know, 1969?
Interesting. I worked on an HBO film called Something the Lord Made many years ago. Gosh, almost maybe 10 years ago now. And that was a film that was filmed in Baltimore, but it had multiple time, you know, took place in the teens, the 20s, the 60s, the 70s, and the 90s. And it's just, I mean, you'd be amazed at the period piece, the things you come up with. For instance, dish antennas. So if you're shooting a period piece, you cannot have any dish antennas. So we strategically, You know, if it was a scene that was taking place in the teens or the 20s, we had the art department had a truckload of barber poles and old wooden signs and stuff that they could literally place to camera to cover up that stuff. And I remember on that movie, there was a thing of the electrical wire. There's old school, old style, apparently old style electrical wires with glass insulators, and then the newfangled ones that don't have glass insulators. So that was a giving. So when you're shooting a scene on the street, they had to find a street that had the old insulators. So it's crazy.
And I would imagine there are some directors that are really, really detail-oriented where that is concerned, and maybe others who aren't. Or is everybody wants something like replacing the electrical cable to look period authentic?
I think probably every director would want it to be exactly accurate. But a lot of times it's just a matter of the amount of time and money and the number of people that you have to accomplish what you need to accomplish. You know, if it's a lower budget film, they say, you know, you only have this amount of money, but you still have to do a scene that takes place in 1920. So, you know, give it your best shot. So that a lot of those decisions are made, you know, for expedience sake.
Is it possible to get aerial photography in Washington, D.C. these days? Is, for example, a drone shot out of the question, or how do you get a permit for that?
Yes, it is possible. However, you have to follow specific guidelines and directions with that. So that, yet again, is another agency. It's interesting. I think a few weeks ago, there was a drone that was in the area that was no one was aware that was scheduled to happen in D.C.
I would imagine that's a good way to lose your drone.
Right. And D.C. is just not area or a location where you should do that. So but pretty much anything is possible. You just have to discuss it ahead of time and have a set plan. But I think it's when you catch someone off guard, you can quickly shut down a shoot when that happens.
There used to be, I'm not sure exactly when they changed this, it might have been right around 9/11, there's an FAA zone around D.C. called the P-56, typical government name for it, that was the no-fly zone. And it was a narrow little area kind of around the mall and the federal buildings. So a lot of times we'd arrange for a helicopter pilot with a camera mount and, you know, film as we could do all of our shots just staying out of that zone. Well, unfortunately, they've expanded that zone to, you know, pretty much include the entire beltway. So, but, drone technology is still a new thing, and they're kind of working out the jurisdictional things about that. So I think you can, you know.
Do you also scout interior locations?
Oh, yeah. A lot of times, whether they film a scene in an interior depends upon how much of the actual film is going to be shot. Like, for instance, if, it's the main character's home and there's 60% of the film is filmed in that home, it's better and more cost-effective for them to build a set on a soundstage and then shoot the outside someplace else. But a lot of times there are things like when a movie that's traveling and comes to Washington and they're going to be here for a certain period of time, like 4 or 5 days, they need what's called a cover set. So they'll take a set from their, you know, whatever their schedule and say, okay, we're going to do this cover set in D.C. And it might be something weird like, you know, an apartment in Dallas or something, you know what I mean? So people are like, why did you do it that way? And it's a crazy, it makes sense only to us.
And we should assume, we know, right, that every time we see in the many television shows that we see it, if we see like the floor of Congress or if we see the Oval Office, those are always sets that are constructed somewhere else.
Normally that is the case because the Oval Office is there for the president to do his day-to-day operations.
Right.
It's actually an office. It's not a set. So,
do most people get it pretty close, though? It looks like every time we see the Oval Office in a TV show or a movie, it looks the same.
I think so. I think so. I think, their research teams and production companies spend a lot of time to make sure that they get certain things right. And for the most part, kind of going back to your original question from the director standpoint and the period pieces, if you have the proper funds, then you will do it to the best of your ability. So, you know, the goal is to be as accurate as possible.
Are you ever asked, Patrick, to go in and just kind of survey something and communicate back with the people who will be designing the set, or would that be something?
Oh, yeah, no, totally. That's actually all part of the process, pretty much on every film.
So what do? You take photographs? How do you document?
I worked on a movie a long, long time ago, and I went there with a production designer, and we went to the White House. And I'm going to be dating myself. They would measure the sets with this basically a folding ruler that had black and white lines painted on it. And they would, you know, basically put this ruler in the photo and take a picture so that they could then scale the, you know, moldings and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
So for whatever reason at that particular time, they didn't allow us to bring our ruler. So they literally took black and white tape and painted it on the side of my pants and my shirt so that when we went in, they took pictures of me
standing on that set.
Yeah, so then they could see that then they could take that and measure. So it's great. You know, it depends upon what's allowed, but a lot of times we always take copious pictures before we film.
Are there federal agencies that are a delight to work with when you want to shoot a production there? And are there some that everyone says, oh, no, we've got to deal with Agency X?
So I think the correct answer and essential for everyone to know is that, you know, we have to talk to all of them. Everybody plays a part. And what I have found is clear communications.
Absolutely.
And the caveat to that is, if I'm only calling you when I need something, that's not good. So how we've developed that relationship is keeping an open rapport all along so that when something comes up, we're prepared. So advanced planning, advanced discussion makes every agency easy to work with.
We are speaking this hour with Angie Gates, who's director of the Washington, D.C. Office of Motion Picture and Television Development, and Patrick Byrne, location manager and scout, whose credits include The X-Files, Veep, House of Cards, The Bourne Legacy, The West Wing. We're talking about the nation's capital in movies and TV. You can check out Stephen Becker's interview with NPR movie critic Bob Mondello during this week's edition of The Big Screen. That is happening tomorrow morning at 8:20. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can call us at 1-800-933-5372. Back in 2 minutes with Think in DC.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. Summer registration is now open with courses in art, history, literature, and new financial fitness workshops. Registration online at smu.edu/CAPE.
Take a deep breath, Andy. Washington, D.C. I mean, you can practically smell the bills becoming laws.
Yeah.
You can taste the sweet sugar of bureaucracy at work.
That building looks like a boob.
Well, it's not.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's the White House.
No, it's the Capitol.
That was Amy Poehler and Chris Pratt in a scene from Parks and Recreation that was shot right on the National Mall in front of the Capitol. This is, of course, the week that Think is in D.C. We are speaking this hour about making movies and TV in the nation's capital with Patrick Byrne, a location manager, and Angie Gates, who is director of the Washington, D.C. Office of Motion Picture and Television Development. If you'd like to be part of our conversation, you can call 1-800-933-5372 or you can email think@kera.org. Don't forget also to check out what we are doing this week. We, of course, have a Tumblr, kerathink.tumblr.com. So I really like that scene. And I wonder, you know, when you have people who are stars that people might actually recognize on the street, in a city like this where the real stars are politicians, how does the presence of an actor or director somebody might recognize compare with the star power of, you know, Mitch McConnell strolling down the street?
It's interesting. I think here in D.C., probably similar to New York, the individuals here walking the streets are very respectful because D.C. is one of those cities where at any given time you can see one of the top political figures. You may see the president going to get a hamburger or something while at the same time seeing your traditional actors and actresses. So I think with here, it's almost like a way of life. It's not necessarily the starstruck
exact thing that you would normally see maybe in some of the other states. I have to make you all laugh. So this morning, as I was preparing to get ready for work, that's the episode that I was watching this morning from Parks and Rec. It's the first episode. I can't remember if it's season 4 or 5, but I just watched that episode this morning.
Was it well done?
Yes. No. So as it was playing, I was like, oh my gosh, deja vu. I saw that at 7:30 this morning.
Do you all have favorite productions that you've watched, that whether you've been involved with them or not, that you think really captured the city?
Interesting. It's an interesting thought. I would say, I can't even remember the name of the movie. It was a movie with Russell Crowe where he was a reporter and Ben Affleck was a senator and Robin Wright was, anyway, I forget what it was called. But that, I think, I've always wanted to see Washington portray. I mean, you know, there's always the pat, okay, here's the long shot down the mall. Right. You know, here's a guy having a deep political conversation with the monuments behind him. But it's great to see some of the stuff that is definitely D.C., but it is not a monument. And so I thought that film captured that very well.
And for me, it depends on what the scene is. So it's been various films. I like to go back to the exact location. And as crazy as this sounds, no matter how many times I drive past the steps at Georgetown University from the film Exorcist, I still like slow down a little bit just to get the glimpse of those long set of stairs. But it depends. You know, we were talking about House of Cards earlier. There's some scenes that's shot there that I like. St. Elmo's Fire, you know, going back numerous, you know, years with some particular bar lounge area in the Georgetown area. So I can't say that there's been one specific film, but, you know, the appreciation of going back to the exact location that's still there today where something was captured.
Patrick, you were saying that you've worked on a lot of projects here in D.C. that are not necessarily specific to Washington, D.C. They're just exteriors that work for the production.
Well, it's not necessarily they didn't plan to. It's not like they said, okay, we're going to film D.C. and call it Cleveland. It's more that they have, like on this project that we just worked here in D.C., there were several shots they needed to accomplish. They had the two actors together only for a certain amount of days, and one of those days was here in D.C., but the scene was supposed to be an apartment someplace else. So, you know, it's a lot of times it's really just accommodating the schedule and trying to, I mean, when I was talking about Nixon earlier, there was a scene that we had to scout for that was supposed to be an apartment on the Upper East Side of New York City. So, you know, it's kind of a challenge. And it a lot of times it really is something as simple as proximity to another location. You know, they'll say, okay, we have this scene. It's supposed to be a lawyer's office, and we love this choice that you have for a lawyer's office. It's great. But now we have to find the desert in Syria, and it has to be within what's called a country club role from that lawyer's office. And country club role means that they don't have to pack the trucks. They basically take their equipment and roll it across.
Huh.
So. Wow. I mean, I exaggerate to make a point. They wouldn't make me do that, but a lot of times that's what they put us through.
But the movie Body of Lies in the Eastern Market area.
Yeah,
Eastern Market area. That actually was based in Amsterdam, but it was right here in D.C. in the Eastern Market area.
So I would imagine there are times when, a production has needs like that for a country club role, and you have to just really think creatively about, okay, what's close to what else, whether or not one area will be seen in the shots for the other area at all.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times it'll be the same location, different rooms, you know, in a house. So, like, you're shooting this room in a house, and this is grandma's house in New Hampshire, and, you know, this is an apartment. Yeah, so it's totally different every time.
What's a cold call like when you see a location you think you want to see, you haven't worked with the owners before? How do you approach people, and how do you get them to believe that you're who you say you are?
Well, I usually have them call Angie's office, and they'll say, I know the guy, and he's not. But would be surprised at how, I mean, I walk up and knock on people's doors and I, you know, give my spiel, and sometimes they're like, you're crazy, and slam the door on me. And sometimes they're like, come on in and we're getting ready for work. Take a look around. You know, I had one time I was scouting. I literally walked in the front door of the house, gave my spiel, started taking pictures, and the lady was like, I got to go pick up my kids. Will you just close the door when you leave. And I'm like, I just met you. I'm like, I just met you, you know, 45 seconds ago, and you're leaving me in your house. That's kind of weird.
But Patrick, he's an expert at what he does. And I think with working with a location manager like Patrick, he definitely will provide that level of comfort. And I think once he utilizes a space, word of mouth starts to trickle around, and he's very well respected in the community. So it makes it easier when a Patrick comes up to your door randomly, or he will get calls for, hey, if you need another house, you know, my house is available. So that plays a major part in how he conducts business as well.
Are there rules if somebody wants to come in and, you know, we talked about shooting a scene in the 20s. If somebody says, for the next 48 hours, I want to remove all the street signs here and replace them with something that looks period appropriate. Can that be done as long as they promise to put everything back?
It can be done. The more, and I know this is sounding redundant from an advanced planning perspective, but working with the Department of Transportation, our goal is to make sure that we accomplish what you need. So we work closely with our sister agencies. But yes, we would rather that the Department of Transportation moves the meters and not the production company. So, you know, once we make sure that we can get what exactly you're trying to accomplish, we can make arrangements to get that done.
What are the rules about shooting where there is supposed to be a particular set of weather conditions? For example, if you need DC in the snow and it's not snowing on the day the production company arrives, or you need rain, that sort of thing.
Well, I have fortunately had very little experience with movie snow because I understand it's a pain in the neck. But I have had some experience with it. And, you know, I think... I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know whether it's because DC is unique and they're like here for a particular thing, but they, I don't think I've ever, I actually, that's not true. I've had situations dealing with real snow before. We built a big set piece for a hotel that was supposed to be the entrance to the Willard Hotel, but it wasn't close enough. The actual Willard Hotel wasn't close enough to the U.S. Capitol. So they moved it down and just built the door on in a park close to the Capitol. Well, it snowed, gosh, like a foot and a half that day. And the set dressers are furiously trying to sweep the snow off this huge awning that they attached to scaffolding and had lights hanging off of it too. But it just snowed too fast. And literally, they're like, okay, we're done. We're moving to the location. And in the process of the truck moving over, the whole thing collapsed. And they had to shoot at the regular Willard Hotel. So.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones now. We have Bob on the line calling from North Texas. Hey, Bob.
Hey there. I'm an original Washingtonian, and back in the 1970s, I worked at Townhouse Editing, which did corporate videos for the U.S. Department of Labor. I'm just wondering if corporate video or government videos or movies are still part of the scene there, because I've been out of Washington for about, 20, 25 years.
Thanks for your call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are a lot of corporate product. And as I mentioned earlier, documentaries, news, you know, genre type productions that's done here. D.C. is a huge convention area. So there's a lot of videotaping and productions that's done or things that are shot live for broadcast later. So, yes, that definitely is still the case here. And we look forward to seeing you making your way back up to the district.
Do documentary shoots need all the same permissions, or do they fall under some of the same rules of, you know, sort of public visibility equals the right to shoot in particular locations?
A lot of the rules are still the same. You'll find with a lot of documentaries, they tend to be at private locations. But as far as from the public aspect, you would need the same permitting requirements.
Patrick, of the places that your clients typically want to shoot on a regular basis, what is your favorite place? Like, it's super easy to work there. And what is the most challenging that you always have to just take a deep breath and power through it?
Actually, I would say that my favorite place in D.C. to film is also the most, I wouldn't say difficult, but complicated to film. And that's in front of the White House. It's just because of... It's a very restrictive place to film, but it's also a very alive. There's a lot going on there on any given day. So it's, you know, keeps you on your toes and everybody, you know, we just worked on a film here, and we filmed in front of the White House, and it was very complicated, and there was a lot going on. But I think I had a good time, and I think the rest of the crew is a crew from Munich, Germany, and they got a kick out of it. Even though they were being delayed, they were like, this is kind of cool.
If we see a shot in front of, like, the big plaza in front of the Supreme Court building or something, should we assume that's a Sunday morning at 7 a.m. or something? Is that how it works?
Most of the time, it's going to be during off-peak hours for several reasons, including trying to capture that shot and just from a logistics standpoint. Mm-hmm.
I think, actually, the Supreme Court is one of those locations in town that they actually will allow filming there, but it has to be an actual historic event that actually took place at the Supreme Court. Like, for example, there's that movie, People versus Larry Flint, and that event actually happened there, so they were able to film there. And I think the same rules apply at the archives and a couple of the other places around town.
Does every agency have a dedicated person to deal, if not only with these requests? Does everyone have one go-to person that you contact if you want to shoot on their property?
So from our side of things, we normally are where people start. So we pride ourselves on not bouncing someone around to several different agencies. We take the lead to streamline that process. We may have to go and help facilitate or be more of a liaison, particularly within the government district. For like the federal agencies, we'll start that process, but you may have to get your final permit or when you start your application for a federal location, you'll finish out your process with them. But normally everything starts with our agency, and we try to handle as much as we can from start to finish. If it's out of our jurisdiction, it's only pretty much at that time where we'll advise you to speak directly with the Park Services or whatever agency that is applicable for.
I'd say, like, anything is possible in D.C. You just have to get your ducks in a row way in advance. And that's actually quite difficult for film companies a lot of times. They don't want or they can't make a decision about any given thing until the last minute. So they would prefer to just land on an airplane, go out and scout, pick their locations, and then the next day go out and film them. But it doesn't really work that way. And that's why I have a job.
You're here for the reality check.
Yeah.
and I would imagine, you know, as well, once some companies are here, or even the local companies that are shooting, once you capture a particular scene, you may decide you want something else that you wasn't even aware of. Or, you know, you may be driving past a location that you didn't even think of. And it's like, oh, this is where I want to be. So depending on the jurisdiction or you know, who has to give the final approval there, we try to make it work.
Plan ahead. Stay flexible.
Angie Gates is director of the Washington, D.C. Office of Motion Picture and Television Development. Patrick Byrne is a D.C. area location manager and scout. It's been a pleasure to speak with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow morning at 8:20, listen for Stephen Becker's interview with NPR movie critic Bob Mondello during this week's edition of The Big Screen. Our think team in Washington includes producer Stephen Becker, executive producer Jeff Whittington. We want to thank all of the people from NPR who've made this week possible. Back in Dallas, the show is engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Connect is associate producer. Check out our Think Tumblr. It is at kerathink.tumblr.com. And, of course, you can find us at #ThinkInDC. I'm Chris Boyd in Washington this week. Thanks for listening and have a great day.